From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to the Wildcast podcast. I am Ryan Finley, sports editor here at the Arizona Daily Star, joined, as I am on Wednesdays, by Greg Hansen, GH. How you doing?
Not too bad. I'm waiting for it to be 75 degrees.
I got a football question for you, Greg. Looking at the Arizona stands on Saturday night, there was the promise of Rob Gronkowski bobbleheads. There was the first football game in, 9 months. The weather wasn't awful. And yet there were still a lot of empty seats. This isn't just an Arizona thing, though. It seems like throughout the Pac-12, it was kind of an embarrassing first weekend attendance-wise.
My new platform is the season starts too early.
Okay.
You can't wait for it to start, right?
Right.
Everybody says that. Mm-hmm. And then when it starts, I kind of think it's too early because it's too hot in most places.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. And if you look, in places where games were played, USC was miserably hot. And USC played miserably. ASU was hot when they opened up. U of A was hot. It was strange. And then you combine that with kind of the weird start times. I know at least in Tucson you want to play late at night because it's cooler. But you lose a certain percentage of your fans right away by announcing that the game's at 8 p.m.
You know, the Pac-12 Network last week I thought did one of the most abominable things they've ever done. Mm-hmm. They scheduled the Arizona game at 8.
Right.
And the Oregon game on the Pac-12 Network at 5:30.
Right.
2 hours and a half.
For an Oregon team that went on to score something like 80 points.
And an average game now is 3 hours and 25 minutes.
Yep.
So, depends on the tier of Pac-12 Network feed you get. Mm-hmm. You either got the Arizona game in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. It just didn't work.
Right. It just didn't work. And in a way, it's kind of a no-win situation because if they decided to hold kickoff of the Arizona game, all of a sudden we're looking at like an 8:30 kick.
Oh.
So everybody who's waiting for that game can watch all of it. That's not good.
No.
I discovered something just here in the office last Saturday, which was being able to watch the Pac-12 Now thing on my computer screen was great because I was able to pick whichever game I wanted to watch, and we had, the full Arizona game was on, and that was great. But I'm sitting in a newsroom with multiple TVs and computers and wonderful Wi-Fi service. If you're just a guy sitting at home on a Saturday night, I don't think you're going to take that extra step to pull out your laptop, go to a website, turn it on, stream it to your TV. Those guys will just watch something else. And the Pac-12 Network is so, can we call it fledgling still? I think we can.
Yeah.
It's so fledgling. It can't afford to have people turning off their TVs because they're waiting, because they don't have the energy now to watch their game.
And consider that you're tech savvy.
How about
all the people like me who aren't? Mm-hmm. You don't find it.
No. My wife last Saturday night texts me and goes, "What channel's the game on?"
Yeah.
Said, it's channel 40601 on Dish. She goes, "Nope, that's the Oregon game." I went, "Well, you're going to have to wait for the end of the Oregon game." She goes, "But it's the middle of the third quarter." And I said, "Yes, exactly."
Yeah.
And I said, "Here's how you could do it if you want to watch all of it." And she said, "It's NAU. I'm good."
Yeah.
And how many people throughout Tucson, the ones who even have Dish or Cox or people, whatever, went, "I'm good. It's 8:30 on a Saturday night. I'll just watch something else."
It's funny you say that. Mm-hmm. My wife texted me during the game, same thing. She never turned it on.
Wow. What's the solution?
They had a quadruple header on Saturday.
Right.
You can't do that.
No, you can't do that.
They started at 11:30 at Oregon State, and it was record heat in the state and still is. So Oregon and Oregon State both had 10,000 empty seats.
Wow.
And the air quality was poor because of forest fires nearby.
Sure, and it's gotten worse this week.
Yeah. And the other issue that kind of goes unspoken these days is you play so many bad teams to start the year with.
Well, that's absolutely unspoken. I have circled a couple of games on my weekly watching schedule for Saturday. USC Stanford's going to be great because it always is. San Diego State ASU is going to be pretty good.
Good one.
But when we're saying San Diego State is the good one this week, that speaks to, I think, the overall complete I don't want to say spinelessness, but nobody has the cojones to play a big school anymore. Utah is playing BYU, and that is like, whoa, blow me away. It's a little, I don't know. To me, week one and week zero, whatever this week zero are, with very few exceptions, it's spring training.
And, you know, Utah and BYU, which to me is one of the top five rivalries in college football.
Hate each other.
They're only going to play every other year or so.
Right.
And now Colorado and Colorado State, which sold out Mile High Stadium, whatever it's called, last week.
Right.
They're not going to play every year.
Right.
Because the competition's too fierce that early.
Right. So here's the deal. Nobody wants to play another Power 5 team. Nobody wants to play their rival early in the year. I thought that the college football playoff was invented so that you wouldn't get screwed if you lost a week one game. What is there to lose in week one outside of if you're Florida State, you're playing Alabama and suddenly your quarterback's gone. I mean, what is there to lose? If Arizona were to, say, open with Georgia next year, what could they possibly lose?
If you get blown out by Georgia, at Georgia, 37-14, your fans understand it, I think. Because Arizona used to open at Ohio State twice in the 90s.
Right.
They lost both times, but the fans kind of said, okay, we slugged it out with them.
Sure. I mean, we were both there the year when they opened up at LSU. By the way, for my money, one of the better game day atmospheres ever. Yeah. And it had nothing to do with the light beer cart that got pushed around while we were on deadline. I mean, that was the worst case scenario, right? As you go there, not only do you get drilled, but you lose your quarterback. And Willie Tuitama was never the same after that. But it didn't hurt their cause that year. Nobody looked back and said, well, had they just won in week one, they'd be a top 25 team. I don't understand why people schedule such cupcakes early in the year. And I understand that Arizona sort of has to by law with this NAU thing. What, they have to play in Arizona
school? Every other
year. Right. I get that. And I don't know. Houston is a step in the right direction, I suppose. I don't believe that Houston was Houston.
No.
When Mike Stoops, remember, Mike Stoops signed this deal because he wanted to get a game in Texas.
Right. And, you know, Washington now has kind of established a template that this is okay because they have played 3 years in a row the worst non-conference schedule in Power 5 football.
Yeah.
Their two remaining non-conference games this year are worse than last week when they played Rutgers. And they played on the road at Rutgers.
They went all the way to Piscataway, New Jersey to play Rutgers. But, I mean, you're right. They played the Sacramento States and the Western Oregons of the world every year. We were talking about the origins of this. I was talking with Glenn Parker last week about where this all started. I contend it started with Bill Snyder at Kansas State. That when he took over there, the goal was to get to a bowl game. And so what he did was they went, I believe that they had only played – was it seven conference games? They played one fewer conference game than everybody else. So they were playing like four non-conference games. It was back in the day when you only played 11 instead of 12. And then he would schedule these patsies. I mean, I remember Troy State, back when Troy was Troy State, would go play up there all the time. And then K-State would go to the postseason every year. And they have this long streak now of they've been to the postseason. But it's because they didn't really play anybody. At Arizona, when do you think that changed?
Well, it changed in early this millennium because in the 90s, they played too tough of a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
They played home and home with Oklahoma, home and home with Ohio State, home and home with Miami, when Miami was Miami.
Home
and home with LSU. It was too much.
Right.
And now it's not enough.
Right.
And if you look at Arizona's future schedules, you know, they have Nebraska 15 years from now, but before that, Texas Tech is basically their toughest non-conference opponent until then. They have BYU a few times, but I mean, they have Southern Utah. They quietly put Southern Utah on there.
Hey, man, they have to go to Hawaii. That's tough.
Yeah.
It's a long flight. I don't know. I mean, I think it's – here's the problem with college football now. Things are so cyclical, right? When they scheduled Houston, Houston stunk. Houston's now pretty good.
Yeah, better than Arizona.
When they scheduled Mississippi State 18 months ago or whenever it was, Mississippi State was coming off a season in which they were ranked number one in the country.
Yeah.
And by the time they finally play Mississippi State will probably stink. I think that they're almost planning too far ahead. It's impossible to gauge how good these teams are going to be when you're making game plans for 2023.
It used to be so simple. Mm-hmm. A lot of things did.
Right.
But Arizona Sports Information Director Butch Henry used to schedule their games.
Wow.
Can you imagine that now?
No.
Butch would tell me from time to time, well, and he had a Southern accent, well, do you think we ought to play A&M? I said, man, you're already playing LSU.
Right.
But, I mean, he did it. He called him up and arranged it. He had to get it approved. But
sure.
It's really changed now.
Well, Arizona got Houston back in the Mike Stoops era because when he was recruiting Texas, he decided that they should play some games in Texas to reward the kids who were from there. So he had scheduled that home and home with UTSA, remember?
That's right.
And this is the first leg, I believe, of a home and home with Houston.
It is.
It made sense at the time. Now there's one Texan on Arizona's roster, and he's from El Paso.
Yeah.
And Arizona's now going to go to El Paso here in 2 weeks. A, why aren't they recruiting Texas more? B, is this kind of scheduling, I mean, does this do anything for you or for any other fan?
There you go. That's the question of the year.
Right.
you know, it's. I wonder if someone would have enough guts someday in the NCAA or in the Division I FBS to say, we're only going to play Power 5 against Power 5.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that keep the fans?
What if you played 10 games a year? You played 10 games a year, all of them against Power 5 opponents. Let's say you played 8 Pac-12 opponents, 2 Power 5 opponents. You built a bye in there midweek. So you're looking out for player safety. There's an understanding that there's going to be maybe a Sweet 16 or Elite 8 style tournament at the end of the year. The big boys only play the big boys, and then they play for the big boy championship. And then let, no offense, San Diego State and UTEP play each other and hammer it out. I mean, I think that's the next step, is there will be a new elite level of football that the Pac-12 will be a part of. And then the Mountain West and WAC, that doesn't exist anymore, the Mountain West and MAC will be sort of in the middle, and then we'll have sort of the NAUs on the bottom.
It evolves so gradually. Usually in the old days when you played an NAU or somebody, it really didn't count.
Right. Yes.
And now it counts.
Now it counts. I mean, I remember one year Arizona used a win over a Division I AA team to qualify for the postseason because they had to put in a rule that says you couldn't do that every year.
Yeah.
It's to me, I get it. The goal was forever here. I mean, and again, I covered the team during the Stoops era. The goal in the Stoops era, and it was partially the media's fault, was go to a bowl game, right? They haven't been to a bowl game in 9 years, 8 years, 10 years, whatever it was. I think that the emphasis became making a meaningless bowl game, so much so that they decided, well, it's better to start 3-0, and then maybe you finish 7-5, and you're playing in the Vegas Bowl, as opposed to actually playing somebody, and then you're 5-7.
I mean, Arizona can go 3-9 in the Pac-12 and still go to a bowl game.
They can go 3-9 in the Pac-12. Everybody will keep their jobs, and they'll go to a bowl game. To me, and that's why when we talked about sort of this team and what it might mean, to me, it's not necessarily how many wins they finish with, but it's who those wins are against and how those wins look. Down to the nitty-gritty here, Greg, how does Saturday go?
I don't think we know about Houston, do we?
No, we don't know
anything
about Houston.
They lost a ton. Yeah. The thing that caught me most off guard was Kyle Allen isn't their automatic starter quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was the guy who was going to be their franchise for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe either the other guy is really good or Houston's not that good.
Right. I heard a story about Kyle Allen from somebody a couple of weeks ago that in high school nobody had a stronger arm. That this person was telling me that Kyle Allen had one of the strongest arms anybody had ever seen in high school. But he didn't have touch. He didn't know, so he couldn't really master the offense. He goes to Texas A&M, and I mean, he's out of there in a year.
Yeah.
And now he's at Houston. You know, sometimes tools don't translate.
And sometimes it's the kids who mature so early, like Lewis Holmes.
I
mean, he must have been that big.
Yeah.
Defensive end who came to Arizona when he was 15, and he was a number one prospect you could find.
Right.
But by the time he's 21, everybody else is the same size or close, and he's no longer.
Well, he didn't have to learn the technique because he was just blowing past guys.
Right.
And when everybody else is his size and they know the technique and he doesn't, not only was he not a star, he wasn't even good.
There are guys like that every year, at every team.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle Allen might be the latest.
If I can go super football dorky here, I think that the most important week of the year is this week in a season, right? Between game one and game two. It's a coaching cliche, but it's true. you make more improvements from week one to week two than you do any other time all year, right? The fact that this is Arizona's second game and it's Houston's first might be the difference on Saturday.
Sure. Nobody knows a thing about Houston.
Nothing.
Because they have a new coaching staff, too.
Right. What do you watch? How do you game plan for Houston? Do you look at the Vegas Bowl last year when Major Applewhite was their acting head coach?
Yeah.
And they got rolled by the aforementioned San Diego State Aztecs? Do you go to some of what Major Applewhite was doing when he was it Texas?
They do all that.
Right. Or do you look at just what Houston did under Tom Herman? I don't know.
They have now, their staffs are so big, way too big. They have enough people to handle it. Chuck Cecil.
Right.
I mean, that's what he does all day.
Right.
He analyzes every potential offensive system that Arizona might face this week.
I think one thing working in Arizona's favor, though, is, and we saw this last week, is when a team opens up, especially with some new guys, and especially on the road, I think they tend to keep things really vanilla.
Mm.
And if you're Houston and you're coming in here, you may run the 15 plays that you think you're the best at and not too many other wrinkles. I think Arizona can expand its playbook a little bit this week. And we saw some of that last week. I mean, they didn't throw at all in the second half. But, you know, there was some stuff. The Tyrell Johnson end around was something interesting. And we saw some different wrinkles. I think Arizona is probably further into their playbook at this point than Houston would be.
If I was betting my money, I would bet on Arizona. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I haven't looked at the line.
Me neither.
I think it's 2.5 Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But for the reasons you just said, I think Arizona will win. And Houston's quarterback situation is unstable.
How can Houston, no offense to Houston, how can Houston have more NFL players, more NFL prospects than Arizona?
Because they've been recruiting Texas.
That's a really good point. Our Zach Rosenblatt had a really good story today about that, is that Arizona, in the Rich Rodriguez era, they had signed 4 players from Texas. By the way, 2 of those, Josh Kern and Leo Thomas, were recruited by Mike Stoops and stayed with Rich Rod when Rich Rod got here. So he's really recruited 2 guys from Texas. Only one of them actually showed, and I think it's Tristan Cooper, who's on the team right now.
El Paso.
From El Paso. That's it. So look at that, right? In the last 9 months, since Rich Rodriguez decided it would be smart to recruit Texas more, they have offered scholarships to 40 Texas players. They've gotten commitments from 2. If that's all they get, and if these 2 guys just show up, it'd be the most Texans they've had on their roster since Mike Stoops was here.
You know, when I read Zach's story, very well done, I loved the information he had.
Mm-hmm.
I went back and looked. Mm-hmm. Larry Smith's best season, 1986, mm-hmm. he had 2 Texans.
Wow.
And he had built a program with no Texans.
Right.
And then you won't believe this. Mm-hmm. In the 1990s, when Arizona was the second best team in the league for those 10 years, mm-hmm. Arizona started 4 Texans.
Really?
4.
Really?
Wow. I looked that up this morning.
Wow. But Dick Tomey, was Mike Lucky from Texas or is he from New Mexico?
He was from the Bay Area.
Oh, Bay Area. Okay. But Dick Tomey didn't necessarily have to recruit Texas because he had the islands. And not only did he have the islands, he had the islands and all Californians of Polynesian descent. I mean, he recruited. Arizona wouldn't have a Texas problem if they were getting guys in California and in the islands the way they did for 20 years before Ventura got here. I'm not saying they need to recruit Texas. I'm saying they need to get good players and to have a bunch of Texans. I mean, Greg, we can get in our cars right now and we could be in technically Texas by lunch.
Yeah.
To be that close and to not even try.
Yeah.
I'll give Rich Rodriguez a little bit of credit. He at least admitted it. There was no excuse making there, really. But I don't know. To me, it makes too much sense. Culturally, this is a lot like Texas. Weather-wise, it's Texas without the humidity. I think that somebody from Dallas or Houston is going to come to the U of A and be more impressed with it than maybe if they were coming from the Bay Area or L.A.
And what has struck me about this
mm-hmm.
is that Rich Rod and Mike Stoops are friends.
Yeah.
I mean, he rented Stoops' house.
For years.
And they've talked.
Yeah.
I bet one of the first things Rich Rod asked Stoops was, tell me about where you're recruiting, where we have a chance.
Right.
And he had to say, oh, Texas. Why didn't Rich Rod do that?
They put up a billboard, and we were there.
Yes.
With the billboard that they put up in San Antonio, Texas, when they got boat raced out of the Alamo Bowl by Justin Blackman in Oklahoma State. The billboard that they put up there had current players: Nick Foles, David Douglas, Trevin Wade, and Justin Washington. Three of those guys played in the NFL. Three of those guys. Two of those guys are still in the NFL. This was, what, 8 years ago? Trevin Wade should be your walking, breathing example of why it's important to recruit Texas. He was a three-star player with no major offers who came here and is now still in the NFL. He's a fringe guy in the NFL, but my goodness, he's in the league. Why don't you just gather those three-star Texas guys by the dozen and say, come to Arizona?
Here's how you put your job in jeopardy when you coach in Tucson.
Right.
You don't recruit Polynesians for 6 years, and you don't recruit Texans for 6 years.
Right.
But you recruit Orlando and Washington, D.C. and Pittsburgh.
Right.
I mean, that's why this situation is like it is right now.
Right. I compare it, and you know me, Greg, I compare everything to baseball. But this is no different than developing a minor league system, right? This is not a quality business. So if you're a school like Arizona, one five-star player isn't going to put you over the top. And you need three dozen three-star guys coming through in the span of 2 years.
Yep.
And it's a quantity business. You bring guys in, you see what you have. Hopefully some of those three-star guys who you come in play like four and five-star guys. To me, it seems, and maybe I'm wrong, that they've been aiming a little bit for the upper echelon guys who you're really going to have to kill yourself to get. I mean, the guy, Reggie McKenzie's kid, Khalil McKenzie. I mean, remember, they had the whole bucket hat thing a couple
That's
years
right,
ago.
Yeah.
And he was coming till he wasn't. Then he ended up at Tennessee. You look at Tease Tabor, who verbally committed here, and his mom wouldn't let him come, allegedly. And he ends up at Florida. To me, that it's really easy for risks like that to backfire because of Arizona's reputation nationally. There's just, you're not going to get a kid from Florida or from California, a five-star kid, to drive past Stanford, USC, ASU, to come to Arizona.
There's one thing that's a factor people really don't talk about a lot, and that is, I think the quality of high school football in Tucson has diminished significantly in 30 years, 40 years. Okay. There are so few Tucson players who can help you go somewhere now. Mm-hmm. And if you look back at Larry Smith and Dick Tomey, they probably had five core Tucson guys every year that Arizona doesn't get now.
Right,
but they've got one now.
But the converse of that, too, is the quality of good football play in Phoenix has exploded.
Yes, yes.
Look at Phoenix guys in the NFL. There's a ton of them. And for one reason or another, those guys tend to, I mean, Terrell Suggs, let's start there. You know, Prince Amukamara, guys like that. Arizona, I think, probably missed that boat. And I don't think that's necessarily Rich Rod's fault.
No.
I think that happened during the Stoops era, was Phoenix kind of blew up, and Arizona wasn't there to take advantage of it. And now they're getting kind of fringy guys out of Phoenix.
That's 100% correct.
Mm-hmm.
The demographics of Phoenix have changed so much in those 30 or 40 years since Arizona joined the league that Arizona is no longer 1A on a recruits list. It might be 6A because the days when they would get Pac-12 players of the year, Dana Wells and Byron Scott and
Byron Evans
and Rob Waldrop out of Phoenix, those guys aren't coming here anymore.
Right. Well, and the world of recruiting has changed so much too. It used to be that you'd go, if you grew up in Phoenix, you'd go to U of A or ASU.
Yeah.
And maybe somebody, like if you're Rick Neuheisel, would talk you into driving to LA and playing at UCLA. Now, Mike Riley can be here from Lincoln, Nebraska in 2 hours on his private jet. Or, you know, I mean, YouTube and Huddle and Max Preps and all of that. You can show your highlights to anybody and everybody in the country. You're no longer limited necessarily by where you live.
Oh, Kyle Allen of Houston.
Right.
He's from Scottsdale.
Yeah, I'll name drop my own name, but not me here. Ryan Finley.
Yeah.
Ryan Finley was a good but not awesome high school quarterback in Phoenix. Goes to Boise State, gets in trouble at Boise State. When he got in trouble at Boise State, I went, Arizona can jump in right here, right? He ends up at North Carolina State. I mean, my goodness, that 30 years ago, that doesn't happen. 30 years ago, you go, if you get kicked out of somewhere, you go to Scottsdale Community College, then you go play at Arizona or ASU,
sure.
And that's it. So, yeah, it's I don't know. It's a different world recruiting-wise, and I'm not sure it matters where Arizona gets players, but they got to start getting more players, don't they?
And the most convenient area with the biggest population is Texas.
It's Texas. It's Texas. What I would do, Greg, and nobody's ever asked me, what I would do, I would saturate the Inland Empire of Southern California.
Sure.
It is the sneakiest, most fertile recruiting area in the country. Toby Gerhart, for instance. Inland Empire. Say Huntington Beach kids are going to go to UCLA, right? San Diego kids are going to go to USC or UCLA. Inner city LA kids are going to USC, and that's it. Go get Inland Empire kids used to the heat a little bit. Culturally, it's a good fit. Go get Inland Empire kids, go get some Texas kids, and my goodness, recruit the islands a little bit more. And if they can do that, I think they get sort of a foothold back recruiting-wise. Fact is, they're playing Houston on Saturday, and Houston may have better players.
I think they do. Because Arizona's, quote, better players are 19 years old right now.
That's very true. That's very true. But we're going to wrap it up here, Greg, before I take all of your morning. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Wildcast. Greg, I think week two went a little bit better than week one. What do you think?
It's a big improvement just because we have a better microphone.
like a football team, I make the biggest leap between week one and week two. So that'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast. For Greg Hansen, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.